brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free book of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Hey everyone, I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Brittany and Karen. Hey guys!
Hi!
Marima unfortunately can't join us due to this whole crazy Australian Daylight Savings Time thing, so it messes up our recording schedule. So hopefully the next episode, in fact, I know the next episode she'll be back because it's her choice for book club, so she can't exactly miss it. So Karen and I may be recording at all hours of the night, but Marima will definitely be here. All right, so how are you guys been doing, okay?
Fantastic.
Yes.
Excellent. So, Brittany, just to get it out of the way, because I feel like it's required that every time you come on, we talk about your Tiny Cooper story. So how's it progressing? How's the casting?
Things are good. I'm running into a little glitch with, finding a composer because I am not musically inclined. I can sing my heart out once I know a song. Not beautifully, but loud. So it makes up for the fact that I can't sing. And, but I'm just having a hard time, coming up with what I should set these lyrics to, because they're just so good, and I need a good composer, but Alan Menken is, like, booked through the rest of his life, so I'm working on second choices now.
Okay, well, if anyone out there knows any good composers, please do give Brittany a shout-out, so she can get this show on the road, so to speak. How about you, Karen? How's everything going for you?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything else to say. Sorry.
It's okay. It's fine. All right. So let's talk about what we've been reading. Karen, this is an interesting choice for you. I'm not going to lie. So why don't you go ahead and talk about it a little bit?
I'm really excited to talk about this. So I've been on an Audible audiobook binge lately because I've been doing work where it's sort of brainless and I have to be like outside in the garage going through all this stuff from like I deal with antiques and stuff like that. So I'm basically just moving around, organizing things. And I've been wanting to listen to audiobooks so I can kind of do two things at once. And that's why I read Struck by Lightning. And my second book that I've gotten through is Invasion of the Body Snatchers by Jack Finney, which I mean, obviously I've heard of it before. But I didn't really know anything about it other than obviously what's in the title, but it was so good. Like I was really surprised, but it was fantastic. And the writing was really, compelling and imaginative, and the narrator was excellent and, probably the best narrator I've heard. He got really into the story and he was very dramatic with the way that things were said, not overdone or anything, but just like I would stop what I was doing and just stand there and listen because I was so into it. And, the guy who narrates it is actually the son of, I believe it was the director of the 1956 movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which I really want to see now. I mean, it's supposed to be like a B horror movie, so it's probably not going to be the best, but because I like the book so much, I'd kind of like to see that older version of it to see what they did with it. But yeah, I really loved it. So if you're into like old school sci-fi horror, definitely read this if you haven't already.
Excellent. That's super fun. See, I saw that and I was like, is that really like
mistake?
No, well, I wasn't sure. Cause I don't know, it just doesn't seem like your typical go-to read.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into, like, the classic sci-fi stuff a bit more, so hopefully I'll be, I have a lot of books to get through in the next couple of months that are more contemporary, but I really like the old-school sci-fi stuff, and I haven't read a lot of the big ones, so I definitely want to get through those.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I read some books this weekend. So if anyone saw How We Hype this weekend, Marima, first of all, demanded that I participate in How We Hype. So my participation was to read all the books. And of course, I didn't get through all of them because it wasn't happening. But I did get through three, which is a lot. That's probably the most I've gotten through in a really long time in like one weekend. So I read I Am Princess X by Sherry, I'm not sure how you say her name, Sherry Priest. And it's a really cool book. It's part novel, part graphic novel. So they're like comic pages mixed in with the novel, because the idea is that these two girls met in middle school and they created this Princess X. And she wasn't your typical princess, and she lived in a haunted house. And one of the girls was the writer, May, and the other girl was the artist, Libby. And so they kind of grew up together, and they're best friends, and they're kind of like loners, the two of them together. They really don't have a lot of friends outside of what they, you know, their friendship. And when they're 14, Libby dies. Her mom supposedly falls asleep at the wheel and drives off a bridge, and Libby's dead. And May constantly has these recurring dreams that Libby somehow got out of the car and swam away, but they did find Libby's body, so they're not necessarily real. And then May's parents get a divorce, and she moves away from Portland, which is where the story takes place. And then she only goes back on summers to see her dad. And so this one summer, her 17th year, she starts seeing these stickers in store windows, and they're representative of Princess X. And then so as she's starting to search and look for stuff, she discovers that there's this entire web comic called Princess X. And it's the exact same drawings that were created by Libby when Libby was alive. And so it kind of perpetuates this new story, and it's the webcomic is only 6 months old. So May instantly starts to think that somehow Libby survived. And the story that's being told through the comics is a different, clearly a different story than the one we're learning, but it gives some really interesting clues as to what may be going on with Libby, if she's dead or if she's alive, and how it progresses. So you basically have the two stories going on at the same time, but they fit together. So it's really cool. I really liked it. I thought it was really well done. And it's not a super long read, so I definitely suggest checking that out. Then I read a book called Locke and Maury. And, oh, Princess X comes out this month, or at the very beginning of May. So that one's pretty soon. The next one I read was Locke and Maury by Heather Petty. And it's a Sherlock Holmes story, but it's set in present-day England. And it's Sherlock Holmes as a teen, and he meets and befriends a girl named James Moriarty. So it's kind of a really cool twist on the whole Sherlock Holmes backstory and relationship with Moriarty, and kind of how they both function. And the girl who plays, or the girl who is Maury, they call her Maury, she is super smart and really just, it's a really cool story. So that doesn't come out until September or October, though. So I kind of jumped the gun when I saw Sherlock Holmes and decided I had to read it. but I really did, I know. But, like, everyone should write it down, because it is super, super good. And it will be coming out.
Yeah, as you were talking about it.
Moriarty as a teen with Sherlock Holmes. Seriously, guys? And it's a girl. It's amazing. Did you go Google it already?
I mean, she's a girl in elementary, but it's fine.
Yeah, I know. I know. But, like, I like that it's in literature, too. It's not just on the TV show.
I want to read.
Yeah, no. So I was super excited about that one. And then I read Illusionarium by Heather Dixon. Now, I really wanted to love this book because it had this really interesting, unique premise, and I just couldn't get into it. I struggled to read through the whole book. So I think the beginning few chapters were really confusing. You're kind of just dropped into this place that you have no connection with, and they have a language and they use words that are different that you wouldn't know what they mean, and it's not even like you can really derive what they mean from the context of what you're reading, so it didn't really work for me. Not to say that it's not good and that people won't like it, I just wasn't in love with it as much as I wanted to be. So I don't know, we'll see how you guys feel about it. If anyone reads it, please send us a note on Twitter. I'd be curious to see what anyone else thinks about it. But the premise is really cool. So, I mean, it does have some things going for it. I just found it a little bit hard to get through in the beginning because you don't really know what's going on. So, Anyway, that's what I've been reading. And now, Brittany, how about you? What have you been doing again?
I'm just gonna read exactly what I wrote in the doc. Brittany is reading nothing because she is lazy.
And that about sums it up. Thank you very much.
I mean, you didn't like
Poor
reread
Brittany.
Tiny Cooper or.
I mean, I haven't done anything except my Hypable posts, which take up all of my time.
If you guys have ever seen what Brittany posts about on Hypebeable, it's a little intense. I think she has like multiple articles due every single day, and that's not her full-time job. It's not any of our full-time jobs. Just to be clear about that, we do not work full-time for Hypebeable. We do. This is our fun stuff. I know
Yeah,
that
this is
makes
our
us
fun job.
probably sound crazy, but it's okay. It's what we do for fun. So Brittany like writes about tons of stuff, so I can understand why you may not have read so much this
I have
last couple
one
of
month left, though,
weeks.
guys. One month left, and then I have no shows on. I don't know what to do with myself.
Oh
You're gonna
man.
read a whole lot and visit us more.
Or just sleep.
Oh, you want to sleep? Yeah, you're so boring, Brittany. Okay, so let's do some really quick housekeeping so everyone knows what the plan is. So this week we have an episode. Next week we will not have an episode because it is spring break and I'm fully intending on taking advantage of my spring break from school. And then the week after will be our book club episode. And just as a reminder, our book club book for the month of April is Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda by Becky Abertalli. And you guys definitely get this book. It is so good. I know Marima hasn't stopped talking about it, and I'm sure you've all seen that. And whenever she's on, she talks about it like in a lot. It's a lot of talking.
Like Britney does with Tiny Cooper.
A little bit, yeah. So you guys know if Marima talks that much about a book, it must be really good. So that is going to be our book, and we're going to highly suggest that you guys pick it up and read it, of course. And you can also get it on Audible. It is available in an audiobook. So if you guys are going out on April vacation like I am, I'm going to California. Dude, a plane ride, a car ride, an Audible book is the absolute best way to go because this way you can do two things at once, like, drive and listen. So for a book of your choosing, and the book that we are suggesting this time around is Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda by Becky Abertalli. And you guys can check that out at audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. That's audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. All right, so now that all that stuff's out of the way, and you guys know the plan, so again, no episode next week. Everyone take a break. Enjoy the lovely weather that's hopefully coming. For those of us here in New England, it was actually semi-warm today.
Oh man, it was
Oh,
60.
yeah.
Everything's melting. I'm so excited.
It's really sad when it's already like the second week of April. And we're like, oh, hey, the snow is melting. That's not okay. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit. Okay, we have a book bite today. And I thought this one was kind of fun, so I decided to post the question to all of you. Are you ready for this book bites?
Yes.
Listeners, please feel free to play along. We would love to know what you think. So today's book bites is, it is the apocalypse. Everything bad in the world that could happen is happening. What four authors do you want on your survival team? Because so many authors are writing about the apocalypse and in dystopian worlds. Some of them have some pretty good skill sets. So, which ones do you want?
So they all have to be alive.
No, I can be flexible. If we're having an apocalypse with, zombies and whatnot, might as well have dead people. Go for it.
Okay, all right. That changes things.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, Karen,
Because
go.
I have mine
Go
written
it.
down. I saw this and I went, oh, this is such a great book bite. So I'm really excited. All of mine are still alive because I feel like that's important. Because if they're a zombie, then you have to kill them. Okay. First one is Bill Bryson, who wrote A Walk in the Woods. And I feel like he would be a good one because he does a lot of that nature stuff. He walked the Appalachian Trail. I feel like he's very savvy outside. Also, he is hilarious. So it would be really good for, company and keeping morale up. Second one would be J.K. Rowling, of course. I always want her on my team. Mostly because she's very intelligent, and I feel like she would do a good job, even if she isn't like super outdoorsy or anything. Like, I mean, if I get to hang out with her, like, if this is my final days, I want to hang out with J.K. Rowling. Third one would be Suzanne Collins, because I feel like she would be really good at keeping everybody level-headed, and seeing as she wrote The Hunger Games and she knows how people can act in their core, she would be really good at like being a sort of government person where she would be like, okay, we probably shouldn't go down this road because, it could lead to some bad things. Let's just regroup, come together. It would be a lot better that way. Last one would be Robert Kirkman, who wrote The Walking Dead, because, I mean, come on.
Oh, that is impressive.
Come on. Like, if I am going through the apocalypse, zombies are not. Robert Kirkman seems like an excellent choice to me.
Yeah, no, that definitely, I didn't even think of that one. That's impressive. Impressive. All right, Brittany, do you have yours?
I have three.
That's all right. Good. Give us your three.
Okay. So the first person I think of for survival, for some reason, because this book just still disturbs me, is Andrew Smith, who wrote Grasshopper Jungle, because he has a twisted mind, and I feel like he could find a way to make anyone survive, or at least know where the shelter would be, where we could survive. Then I'm thinking of Jules Verne, because he has that kind of like, he can survive in any type of situation. Like, he can get around the world in 80 days. He knows what it's like 20,000 leagues under the sea. Like, he knows his stuff, but he's dead. So, I mean, that's why I was asking. And then, because Karen went with the writer from The Walking Dead, which I was just going to say writer from Walking Dead because I don't know his name. And I don't like zombies enough to know of any other person who would know enough about zombies to handle this. I'm going to go with Mary Shelley because she was able to think of how to build a man.
True.
So she might know some stuff. But then I'd have to go with like my other X Factor author would be someone who created like their own world. Like I don't want to go with Suzanne Collins because The Hunger Games is like she like has like a sick part of her brain where I think she'd like sacrifice me first if like she'd be like she is the weak one, we're all gonna team up and get her out, so I don't want her, but like someone else who created their own dystopian world who wouldn't kill me off right away.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Well, there are a lot of cool dystopian worlds out there. I mean, there are a lot of really cool world-building authors out there, so gotta love
Maybe
it.
like may you know what maybe like Scott Westerfeld, because like he's got some stuff going on there. I
That's
think I
true.
can,
You can work with that.
yeah, I can work with that. Plus, he's like really hilarious, so I think
Yeah,
we'd get
hey,
along real
at
well.
least you can laugh on the way out, right?
Exactly.
It's gotta be something there. All right, so mine, in no particular order, my first one is Bear Grylls. Do you guys know who he is? The adventurer?
Yes,
And
I was
yes,
considering
his
him, but I didn't know if he was an author.
Oh, but he is. Thank you very much. Because with somebody like that on your team, like, seriously, you're in good shape.
Oh,
He's an
yeah.
adventurer. He does the craziest things, in case you guys have never seen his show on TV. Insane survival skills. That is a must. So I will take him, please, and thank you. And then I said Veronica Roth because, she's got some really cool stuff going on. And she has kind of an alien invasion book coming out soon, too. So, I figure between the whole Divergent issue and alien invasion, she knows what she's doing. I felt good about that choice. And then the other one was, see, I have a toss-up between a couple of different authors for a couple of different reasons, but I have two left, so I'll give you two. Rick Yancey, who did The Fifth Wave, again, Alien Invasion. So if you guys know, like, he had a lot of going on in that novel, and I think he would be prepared for an alien invasion in case it's not just a straight-up apocalypse. In case there are other factors involved, I would feel comfortable having him around to help with the alien situation. And then I'm thinking George R.R. Martin, because the man, his writing may not be very quick. Let's be honest. Like, his stories took a really long time to produce, but they are detailed and intricate, and the battle scenes that go on in there. So maybe he can't actually, swing a sword, but he could tell us what to do. The instructions would be fantastic. So that's what I'm going with.
The only addendum I want to make to mine is if Beyonce ever writes a book, she steps right in. She kicks the first person out. So when she becomes a published author, she's my number one.
Oh, that's the best thing ever. Beyonce on my author apocalypse. Yeah.
There's like a little asterisk. Like, and it's like, if Beyonce writes a book, she gets pushed to number one.
Oh my God, that's amazing. So yeah, so those are, I don't know, I think that's kind of fun. I'd be curious to see what other people have to say. I'm sure I've missed some really, really incredible authors that would be more amazing than the ones I chose. But hey, it's a good time. So like I said, you guys, let us know on Twitter who your authors would be on your apocalypse survival team, because I'm super curious to find out. All right, so moving on from that, let's talk about a little bit of book news. So this week, in case you guys didn't see, or last week, I should say, in case you guys didn't see, we posted a little bit about the 10 books that need to be turned into TV shows. We did this on the basis of, you know, the shows like Pretty Little Liars have been such a big deal, and they're from books. And then, of course, the Mortal Instruments series getting picked up by ABC Family was kind of a big deal. So we got together, chatted a little bit, and talked about what it was we wanted to see turned into a TV series. Karen, I think yours by far is probably the most popular, so I'm going to go ahead and let you just, you know, indulge, kick it off, talk about it.
Yes. Okay, so I didn't know I wanted this as badly as I did until I started writing it, but now it's going to be like my one-woman mission in life to get this to happen. Of course I'm talking about Percy Jackson. And the reason why I think a Percy Jackson television show would work so well is because, first of all, the books are so big. There's so much depth to them. I mean, you've got the 5 original Percy Jackson's and the Olympians books. Then you have the spinoff Heroes of Olympus. Plus, he's got Kane Chronicles, which granted are a different set of deities, but they're technically set in the same world. And then you have his next trilogy coming out, which is Magnus Chase and the Gods of Asgard. So basically you've got 16 books, okay, that could go into this one television series, and it would allow you to go on for many, many seasons. I also think it would work really well because it'll allow you to get those details that you couldn't get in the movies. And I think that's why a lot of fans don't like the movies, is because they had to streamline so much of the story to make it work. And they upped the ages, they made it a little bit darker, it wasn't quite as middle grade and as silly as the books. And so while I like the movies, and plenty of people do like the movies, it's very, very different from the books. And I think if you did a television show aimed at the kids that are reading these books, you're going to get a huge audience, and the adults who are reading the books, I think, could still appreciate the humor, because if they like it in the books, why wouldn't they like it in the television show? And I just think it would allow them to really start over. Maybe Rick Riordan could be involved, although I don't know if that would really ever happen. But that could be a big plus for people who are looking into this and wondering if a television show would be a good idea. I mean, if Riordan was there, like a lot of other authors are, people would definitely like it, because I think a lot of fans don't like the movies because he's not so into them. So there's a little bit of bias there. But yeah, I just, oh man, I want this so bad.
And you weren't the only one. The comments were full of different, like, people freaking out as soon as you talked about it. They're like, yes, I didn't know I wanted it, but yes, now that's what I want. So I think that's really cool. And I know the Percy Jackson movies didn't go the way many people had wanted. So I think, you know, maybe looking at it and assessing it for what it really is and kind of sticking closer to the source material, I think that would be a great idea.
Right. I don't know. Even if you didn't incorporate all of the books into one series, you could do spin-off shows. I mean, spin-off shows are like so big right now. Arrow has 2 like spin-off 5 shows. Yeah. And so you could do a spin-off show for like the Kane Chronicles, and you could do crossover episodes. Like, oh, it would be so good.
Yes, I see it. It's not that I'm not there with you. I definitely see it happening. So you only chose Percy Jackson, right? Okay. Well, we had some other books because I chose two because that's just me. I can. And I wasn't the only one though because Mikhail and Marima each chose two as well. I think even Natalie chose two. We kind of got excited because I could have easily chosen like five. So I was trying to be on my best behavior and not make the article like 5 pages long. But some of the other ones that we discussed that are, I think, really interesting. One of them is The Raven Cycle by Maggie Stiefvater. If you guys aren't familiar with that, you need to go read it like now. I love that series. And I discovered I was not the only one that loved that series. Natalie and Brooke, both at Hypewell, are kind of like madly in love with that series. And I think it truly lends itself to TV because it's set in our world with a little bit of hints and magic and superstition. And there's so many cool things that could happen with that book that are really, really exciting. So that was definitely one that I would love to see adapted. I think it's been optioned for film, but as far as I know, nothing's really happened with it. The other one that I, the one, one of the ones that I suggested was The Lux series by Jennifer L. Armentrout. If you guys have read this, you guys know it's perfectly sassy for the CW. It's kind of like a Vampire Diaries meets Roswell, if you guys ever saw that show. So you have your aliens and you've got, sassy, snarky kind of back and forth between the different characters, and it's just a lot of fun, all while being like action packed and having a lot of story to it as well. It's not just, I don't know. It's got a lot to offer. I really like those books a lot, and I think it would be a really fun TV show. We've seen success with things like The Vampire Diaries and Pretty Little Liars and stuff, and I think it falls somewhere in between that. It's not quite as, it doesn't, it has aliens and not vampires. It's set in like rural West Virginia. But it's a really cool concept, and the way it plays out and the things that go on are really cool. There's a little bit of government conspiracy theory, as there always has to be when there are aliens involved, I think. So I really like that one, and it would be a lot of fun if that were adapted. And then the last one I chose, here's a really funny story for you. The last one I chose was the Lady Julia Grey series, and you guys know I talk about it nonstop. Like, if you listen to this podcast ever, you've heard me talk about the Lady Julia Grey series numerous times. So I talked about that, and I said, I really thought it would make a great BBC or ITV kind of miniseries because they do really great short, like, runs of TV. So you could take one novel, make it 10 episodes, and then move on to the next novel. Kind of like what they do with, like Doctor Who and stuff like that. So they could easily do that with this series. And I went on and on and on and talked about it. And then the day that we posted this article, Dana Rayborn announced that Lady Julia Grey had been picked up to be adapted by British TV, which was so funny. I was kind of really excited. More so the fact that it's actually gonna hopefully be adapted and made into a TV show than anything else. But I was like, oh, hey, look, that's really cool. So I was pretty excited for
That's
that.
amazing.
Yeah, it was so funny because I saw it and I saw it before the post went live. So I was like, oh no. I'm like, Andrew? So that thing I wrote about, it just came true. Like, how do we want to do that? Like, what do we want to do? So I don't know. It was really cool. And I'm really excited because you guys, I know Karen, Karen, you need to read these books. I'm just going to tell you. I want you to just try one of them.
Okay. You know I trust you.
I honestly think you'll enjoy them because they're not like heavy old English.
Okay. I was gonna say, doesn't Laura really like them too?
Yeah, I gave them to Laura. I swear I've given them to at least 10 people and no one has said that they don't like them.
Okay.
Everyone has read every single book in the series. So, yeah, Laura loves them. Like, she's in love with them. But I'm telling you, I really think you would like them. They're just sassy and fun. And even though they're set in like Victorian England, they have this, I don't know, they're a little bit more modern than what you would think. There are things that go on in the book that you're like, oh, while it fits the period and the way they do things, it's still fairly modern. So it's just really cool. I don't know. That was me. So, Brittany, I know you didn't write anything, but is there a book that you would love to see turned into a TV series?
I believe when suggestions were called for this post, my comment was originality is dead.
Oh, yes, that is. I
So.
recall now. Yep. It's all coming back to me now. So the answer for Brittany would be no.
I don't mind adaptations. In fact, some of my favorite TV shows are adaptations, but I think we need a break from adaptations. So I couldn't even put myself in the mindset to start thinking about it. So I don't know.
Okay.
I think we need a break. I would like to see some more original programming.
Yeah, I don't know where that's gonna come from.
I think Okay, I'm kind of down the middle for this because I totally agree with you, and I was actually thinking about this the other day about how many like movies I've seen that were original scripts, and I'm sure there are plenty of them, but I really cannot think about many. I think a lot of them come from books. What I would like to see more of maybe is more original adaptations. We tend to get like we got The Hunger Games and we got Divergent and it's all this dystopian stuff coming out. And then, we'll discuss later about all this new stuff. And they tend to come out in batches, whereas I'd really like to see a book that's very original and different being adapted and maybe just opening that door to, okay, you don't have to follow the crowd. It can be something that maybe is a little quirky and weird, and it could still do just as well.
Yeah, I think here's the thing. Like, I think part of the challenge with adapting a book is depending on what the content of the book is. So if you take a contemporary novel and you adapt it, the price tag on adapting a contemporary novel is significantly cheaper than the price tag on adapting a dystopian or fantasy novel. Do you know what I mean? So I think a lot of the market also depends on what's it going to cost. I mean, that's just a reality in the world. So not only is it going to be good? Did it sell enough copies? Does it have enough attention to be good as a film? And is the content there as well? But a lot of it has to do with its popularity, let's be real. You know, to make it into a film, or is it going to be low enough budget where the concepts are really cool and we can get away with making it? So I think that if you have a contemporary novel that's got some, unique qualities to it, like The Duff did. I mean, The Duff is a really fun, kind of different contemporary novel, and so that was made into a film recently. Then you have, everything that is John Green being made into a movie. You have Gail Forman with If I Stay being made into, that was made into a movie. So I think you kind of have these, you do have these kind of groups that come up all at once, but again, I think a lot of it has to do with price tag. So we had the Twilight films, which made a re obscene amount of money, but then they made The Vampire Academy, which didn't do well at all. And so they can't find a balance. Or, they made Aragorn, which was did not do well at all. And so they kind of go in these like starts and stops of what they're going to make and where. And like they made the Mortal Instruments, and that didn't do really well. Even though it had a massive fan base, it wasn't overwhelmingly successful at the box office. So they don't know where to go. And I mean, and let's face it, the Mortal Instruments was kind of different than the other stuff that was being put out there. It wasn't dystopian, it was urban fantasy. It was so it had a lot of things going for it and it didn't work. So now the likelihood of people wanting to take chances on those films that are different, I don't think is as high.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I love adaptations, but I was sitting, I know we're going to get to Allegiant in a minute, but I was watching Insurgent with my friend, and we sat down in the theater, and after, I kid you not, every single preview, she leaned over to me and said, "Is this based on a book? Is this based on a book?" I was blown away. I was like, oh. And a lot of the answers were yes. Like the Nicholas Sparks movie that's coming out, yeah,
The
like The
Longest
Longest Ride,
Ride.
that was a book.
It
Like
was.
I had to say yes to some of them. And the bad trailers were not based on books.
Well, there's something, I guess, to be said for that.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. Like I'm torn because I want to see original material,
But I also don't think that I think the books are doing well. Like, they're doing really well, and I'm happy about that. So I'm very torn, where I don't want to be like, yeah, I loved this book, now I want to see it acted out, because I'm very possessive of the things I create in my head.
Yes.
Sometimes. So.
No, I've been there, trust me, but yeah. But The Longest Ride, just as a total side note, because you brought it up, that comes out this weekend, and I went and visited the set for that, and can I just tell you, Scott Eastwood.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to see it, so.
Definitely.
Movie since The Notebook, but.
This one? Doing yeah.
Very well with the promotion material showing me him, so. Yep.
He's like the loveliest man I have ever met on the, like, so ridiculously polite. It was not okay. Like, it was intense. Anyway, but that movie, actually, if you guys have read The Longest Ride book, that movie is going to be different. It's going to be adjusted, because in the novel, the stories are told, it's a dual storyline that isn't really so much connected until, like, a certain part of the novel, so they had to adjust the way the storylines play in order to make it work.
Gotcha.
But it's still, I think it's going to be really good. Like, from everything I've seen, and, like, the day we were on set and stuff, it actually looks really good, so kind of excited. And Alan Alda's in it. I love him, so it's going to be good stuff. Anyway, let's move on and talk about some more book to movie to whatever things. So, all right. We have a couple different things we can talk about. First, let's talk a little bit about George R.R. Martin, because what's a week without talking about the Game of Thrones? So his latest statement is that he hopes that he will be done with The Winds of Winter by 2016. Now, mind you, that will have been 5 years since the last book came out, A Dance with Dragons. So, yeah. And we were already told last week that the reality of it is that the show is going to basically finish telling the story before the books are all out, which is interesting. We talked a little bit about that last week. So that's the latest on George R.R. Martin.
And I feel bad for him. Does anyone else feel bad for him? I mean, I feel like because authors are being pushed to such a level. I was watching the documentary Showrunners, and it's about television writers and producers and showrunners, but how, like, authors and writers are no longer those people living in a little box in LA who are putting the words in actors' mouths. Like, now they have to go and do things. And I feel like George R.R. Martin didn't, I don't know really anything about him, but this is just my thought. Like, he has to go to so many things and do so much and be a face of the books that I feel like he's, like, being taken out of his little hole that he writes in.
That would be somewhat accurate, but at the same time, this is not unusual. This was long before the TV show was made.
Ah,
yeah, okay. This is not new. This is pretty average, I guess. Except when you have a TV show running parallel, mm-hmm. and you're running out of stories to tell. It makes it really challenging.
It makes me wonder, though, from, like, a PR marketing perspective, how difficult it is to have somebody who writes this slowly. And I'm not saying, like, for or against George R. R. Martin. He has his own system. Obviously, it's working pretty well for him. He's doing fine. But you also have people like Rick Riordan, for instance. He has a very specific timeline. He writes a book a year, and he was for a little while writing two books a year, and that got pretty intense for him, but he always publishes his books in October, and so you just know he has, like, deadlines that he keeps up with, and he just kind of pumps them out. And a year to write a book really isn't that long. I'd say, you know, that's fairly standard. There are some smaller authors who can really pump them out a lot quicker, but for the most part, a year is, like, average, which is hard enough when you're reading a series and you're like, man, what was in the last book? But if I had to wait 5 years for every Percy Jackson book, I don't know. And that's one of the reasons why I don't read the A Song of Ice and Fire books, is because I don't think I could keep up with that pace. to do it that slowly. I would get really confused. I would forget everything. Maybe I'll read the books once they're all over with, but I just can't do it. And I wonder, how do they market things like that when there's such a huge stretch? Like, how do you keep up interest?
Well, I think a lot of it, like, he has a huge fan base. Like, no matter when that book, like, if Rick Riordan didn't come out with a book every single year, that would still be okay, because he has a huge fan base. Once you cultivate a fan base, it's super hard to alienate them. You know what I mean? They want that next novel. They may not like you while they're waiting that 5 years, but once they have that book in their hands, they're okay. They're reinforced and satiated for like 6 months, and then the wait begins again. So I think part of it becomes you learn to live that lifestyle, in a sense, for that author. You understand that it's not going to be an everyday occurrence. Do you know what I mean? And same like John Green. John Green takes long breaks in between his books. So, like, he's not, as far as I know, he's not writing or working on anything right now. There's been no talk of him doing any more books since The Fault in Our Stars came out. So, I mean, for those who really love to read John Green, it's a wait. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and at least Game of Thrones fans now, like, current Game of Thrones fans, have at least, like,
TV.
13 episodes to hold them over every year. That's a guaranteed by HBO. HBO is not going to fall behind on that.
Right. And that's, that's why there's going to be such an overlap, and the shows will take over the books. But, yeah, so, I mean, I think it's an interesting idea, and, like, it's a good question. I mean, I'm sure there are fans that are lost, but now the fact that they're is an entire TV series dedicated to it, and people are going to pick up the books and want to read the books, I think it becomes a whole new, you know, you have this whole new fan base now to deal with. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out in the end, I guess. Because I think it's the first time ever that a movie or, you know, movie series or a TV series has overlapped the books and kind of is going to take control of the storytelling. So it'll be great to see how that unfolds and how people feel about it when it's all said and done. I don't know. All right, moving on. Let's talk a little bit about Allegiant. And you touched on this earlier, Brittany. Splitting Allegiant. Should they do it? Yay or nay? And Andrew wrote a really great article about this, because we've talked about this a lot, not only on Book Hype, but just like in general, like on Hype. I think everyone's talked about it on Hypeable at one point in time. Why are we splitting a fourth? Or, you know, a third book into two movies? Like, why are these things happening? So what are your thoughts, first of all, on splitting the third book of a series into two films?
Well, go ahead, Karen.
I was just going to say, I haven't read it yet, so material-wise, I don't know whether or not it is good for being split. I mean, a lot of people that I trust and usually agree with say that it's not. So that's probably where I'm going to stand. But I mean, in Andrew's article, he makes it pretty clear, and I think that this is just a general consensus anyway, is that the reason why they're splitting it is for money. I mean, why else would you do that? Why else would you take one book and decide to stretch it out as much as you can if it wasn't simply just to make money?
This is a very good point. Brittany, go ahead. What are your thoughts?
Well, okay, so when I walked out of Insurgent, there are changes. And it ended on, like, a much happier... Have you guys seen it?
I did.
I didn't, but don't worry. You're not going to hurt my feelings.
Okay. Well, tiny, tiny, tiny spoiler for people who have not seen it. It ends very differently. I closed Insurgent... in, like, it's like a whirlwind of chaos. Like, they're running, there are guns being fired. In this book, it's very calm. It's very peaceful. So I almost felt like this book could have been the end of Divergent, like the whole Divergent series, if I knew that they still didn't have to go outside the wall. So there's still plenty of story to be told, but I don't think that it warrants two movies unless Veronica Roth is really going to be changing it. Like, if there has to be some changes to the material in order to make it fit into two movies. I think there needs to be more added, or they need to drag out scenes like there's no tomorrow.
Right. And nobody wants, and that's the whole thing. Like, I don't think that's what we want. Like, I hate when a book gets split and there's not enough material. And Andrew makes some really, you know, valid points. His points were simply that there isn't enough material. And, you know, Veronica Roth even did an interview and she was like, I don't know where to split the book because for me, it's one story. You know, if it hadn't been, then it would have been two separate books. So you have the author going, I have no idea where you could split it. You know, I'm not sure how they're going to do it. I don't know. The second one is the franchise's box office power appears to be shrinking. So Insurgent's box office was slightly lower than Divergent for opening weekend, which is not a great sign, to be honest. Usually they go up by the second movie. This didn't. It went down. And then the current plan calls for one story but separate productions. So I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's going to help, you know, the Divergent series as a film franchise. I don't think it's going to make it stronger. I think it's going to make it weaker. And I don't see how that's going to really help them in the long run. Because these movies cost quite a bit to make. They're not, you know what I mean? They've got big action sequences. There's a lot going on. So I don't know how that's going to play out in the end. And interestingly enough, Andrew put a poll in with his story. And 14% of the people said, yes, definitely have it be two films. 86% of the people said, no, there's not enough story. So that's pretty telling. And that's like around almost 270 people voted. So, I mean, that's pretty telling.
Yeah. And I didn't originally agree with Mockingjay being split.
Right.
But after seeing it, like, yeah, I'm going to go back and see the second half. Like, it's not like it ruined it for me. Whereas I also think that Allegiant, it won't, like, dissuade me from seeing it. But I also didn't really like Allegiant that much. So I don't know how much I'm invested into going seeing it in two parts.
Well, and I think, you know, maybe this is just bias, but I think that there's a pretty big difference between the Divergent movie franchise and the Hunger Games movie franchise.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah. I mean, the Hunger Games, they are a step above. Those are excellent movies. And part one was way better than I thought it was going to be. And I always personally saw the second book when they announced that it was being, or the third book, I'm sorry, when they announced that it was being split, I always saw it as two parts anyway, like before they went to the Capitol and then while they were at the Capitol. So for me, it was fairly easy to envision that. Like I said, I haven't seen Allegiant, but, you know, even going back to Harry Potter, the seventh book, I never saw as two parts. And those movies, the last two movies, while they were fine, you know, they weren't that great. But Mockingjay Part 1 was really, really good. And I don't think everyone can do that. And considering Divergent and Insurgent, both movies I really like, but, you know, not as good as The Hunger Games. I don't think they can pull it off, especially considering it's, what did you say, Jen? It was like two different productions, so they're not filming it back to back.
Right. Well, yeah. So one story, two productions is what the press release says. So I don't know if they are filming it back to back with a break in between. They're not filming it all at once, I don't think, because it says two productions.
Yeah, so I think it's not like they'll be filming the second, like they'll be filming the ending while they're still working on the beginning.
No, it'll be two separate.
Yeah, it'll be like sent off already.
Right.
Right. Which, I mean, Mockingjay was filmed together, and I think that's going to allow that story to be more cohesive, even though it is being broken in half. But I just feel like, I don't know, it worries me even more knowing that they're not doing it back to back like that.
Yes, indeed it does. So, something to think about as we move forward and more books are made into movies and how the lovely, you know, what's the word, like, studios are trying to figure out how to get their most buck out of the lovely viewing audience. So, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out for the Divergent series. But right now, it's not looking so great. So, talking about more remakes, because I feel like that's all we talk about these days, let's talk a little bit about the Mulan live-action film that Disney is planning on making. I'm kind of excited that they chose a Disney princess, if you will, that has a little bit more, I don't know, diversity and a little bit more of a story to work with than some of the other ones. So what do you guys think about Mulan?
They'll probably still cast a white person as Mulan.
Oh, I hope my not, God. I truly, truly hope not, because the amount of hate and backlash that they will get, no. It's just not okay.
Like, they can't do that.
I don't think that they will, but it was just... That
can
was
you imagine, though? Seriously? I mean, Disney would be going down in just a ball of flame
but they
if
did,
that happened.
They cast a white person for Tiger Lily. There are plenty of Native American actresses out there that could have played Tiger Lily.
That is true.
So, I, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm definitely more excited about this adaptation than, or live action, I'm sorry, live action than, like, Winnie the Pooh. So.
Oh my God. Like, okay, I can't even talk about Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, no, that is not on the list.
I'm glad that they chose Mulan.
Yeah.
For all the reasons you said.
Definitely. Mulan is one of my favorite animated Disney movies. I'm really, really, really excited about this. I don't want to see, like, the third, you know, or fourth or fifth Snow White movie or Cinderella movie. Like, we've gotten that so many times. And, yes, it's more of a classic story, but it's been done over and over and over again. Mulan has been done before, but I feel like we really... Maybe need isn't the right word, but it would be nice to have a more modern, not modern adaptation in terms of, like, you know, they modernize the story, but something newer for us to watch. And like you said, Jen, it has more substance to the story. It isn't just about finding your prince and falling in love and living happily ever after. This movie, I actually just watched the cartoon the other day, has a lot more substance to it, and there are some really big themes that they could really run with, I think, in a live action, and maybe they'll make it a little bit darker. But if you watch the Disney animated movie, there are some things that are very vague, but if you read into it like adults can, that movie is really tragic in a lot of ways. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go with this.
Yeah, I agree. I think it has way more to play with, and it's a different look at the idea of a female in a Disney movie. I mean, we always see princesses in their dresses and, you know, looking for their prince and true love. And so I think that this will be something much more interesting to see play out and see how it works out, too. So I'm kind of excited about it as well. And I do like Mulan. I think it's a cool story, and there's a lot to tell in that story, so... I'm excited. All right. So let's talk about some book festivals that are happening in April, because it is now officially April. So the next couple of weekends, there are two pretty big book festivals out on the West Coast. So if you guys are in California, I highly suggest you find your way to one of these two festivals, because there's so many cool YA things going on at these festivals. First up is Y'all West. So if you guys have heard of Y'all Fest, that happens down in, I think it's South Carolina, and it's basically this huge YA festival that happens down there every year in November. This is the new version called Y'all West, and it happens in April on the 11th and 12th, and it's happening in Santa Monica, California. The amount of authors that are going to be at this festival is insane. And there's really cool schedules and lots of really, really cool things going on. So I highly suggest you guys check it out. You do need tickets, but I'm pretty sure you can still order them. They have a really great website, which we're going to put a link to. And you guys can check it all out. But yeah, the keynote speaker is Ransom Riggs. They have Marie Lu, Leigh Bardugo, Tahereh Mafi, they're all, I mean, the list of authors literally is, like, endless. Did you guys check it out?
Yeah, the panels sound so good. Like, there's a panel called Horrible Rejection and Terrible Reviews. I love those panels. I think that they are so good, and they're such a confidence booster. Like, when you hear, like your favorite writer saying, like, here's a really bad letter I got once.
Right.
There's like so many good YA stuff. Like this is just like YA central. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So there's signings and there's trivia and there's just all kinds of super cool stuff going on. So I definitely suggest you guys check it out if you are on the West Coast. And then of course the following weekend, the weekend of the 18th and 19th, is the LA Times Festival of Books, which if you've ever been to that, it is absolutely massive. Like, it takes over the campus of USC, and it is just insane. I'm pretty sure it's USC. Did I get the right place? Yes, USC. Whew. And it's massive. Like, I've gone a couple of times, and there's always really great panels. There are, I mean, everybody comes out there. There's a whole YA stage, and there's just authors everywhere. And so Octavia Spencer's going to be there. She wrote the detective series, and it's super, super cute. Karen, you reviewed the first book, didn't you?
Yes.
And it was a really cute book.
It was really good. And she's an excellent speaker, like, because yeah. She was at BEA that one year, and she's so funny and so encouraging and so kind. And yeah, that's an excellent choice.
Yes. So, I mean, she'll be there talking about her latest book. Jason Siegel will be there talking about his book. And then there's, you know, a ton of YA authors as well that'll also be there. And you guys can check out the schedule for the LA Festival of Books, LA Times Festival of Books. We'll put that link in there. So in case you're in the area, definitely go and check it out.
Yeah, and because, if you like poetry, there's a really great poet there named Katie Ford, who was my professor in college, and she's awesome. So,
well, there you go.
You see Katie Ford, tell her Brittany Lovely says hi.
you really can't miss it. So if you guys are in the area, definitely check them out. I think they're going to be a whole lot of fun. And then we'll keep you updated on more festivals and stuff as the summer goes on. So if there's something in your area, or if you guys know of something in your area, let us know so we can give it a shout out. We always want to support book festivals because seriously, love them. There's always great things that happen there. So do you guys have anything else you wanted to bring up on this episode?
Auditions are still going strong for Tiny Cooper. So hit me up.
Oh, yes. And absolutely.
Now I'm currently casting for the Percy Jackson television series.
Can you keep Stanley Tucci? Because I've only seen like 20 minutes of one Percy Jackson movie and Stanley Tucci's in it. So whatever he does, keep him.
I love Stanley Tucci. So yes. So easy.
I don't even know what role he plays. I could not tell you to save my life, but whatever he does, keep him. Or recast him as something else, but just keep him.
You guys are so funny. All right, so we have two casting calls out here, because at Book Hype, clearly, we cast TV film, or TV film all the time. That's what we do here. But no, seriously, so don't forget to read Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, which is out now, and we will be doing for our book club episode the weekend of the 19th. And so we will be back that weekend to talk all about that book. And until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Karen.
Goodbye, guys.